I'm Brad Locke, and you are listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Friends, it is the penultimate week of the regular season for high school football teams in 1A through 4A. And yes, I just wanted to say the word penultimate. Welcome. Brad here with you. James joining us today. James.
Happy to be here.
Podgator. Always happy to be here. We got a lot to talk about, man. We got, like I said, football season, regular season is hitting the stretch run. We've got the volleyball playoffs wrapping up this week at Ole Miss. Got some, just a lot of really important sporting events going on this week between those state championships and the region games in football. So going to spend the next several minutes talking about that. Just a reminder that we come to you every Wednesday. Find us on iTunes, Spotify, or online at preprally.djournal.com. And follow us on Twitter at djournalsports. And be sure to check out our sponsor, Pizza Doctor, at Midtown Point in Tupelo. We think I saw two lonely pieces of pepperoni still out there. I'm surprised y'all haven't eaten them yet. It's good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It makes me the most popular man in the building every Wednesday. Because they pay us in pizza. So, you're welcome. let's jump into the volleyball, James. We've gotten through all but the last round. Championships start Thursday at Ole Miss. We've got four teams playing in the finals. One team will play tomorrow. That's Lafayette taking on East Central. And what you need to know about Lafayette is Harmony Jackson is one of the best around, one of the best hitters around. And she's got 415 kills, but she's got some really good teammates around her who have a lot of experience. This is a pretty experienced club with girls like Maggie Tower, and who feels like has been there forever. Sarah Akins also play on that front line. So it's a formidable unit, especially up front. I don't think I've actually seen Lafayette play this season. I can't remember if you got to or not. I know Brendan has.
I got to see them play Oxford a couple months ago.
That's right. So, yeah, this looks like the team. You know, they made it this far 2 years ago and lost, but this, to me, looks like the team that could get it done. I don't know a lot about East Central. I've got some stats on some of their girls. I'll have that info in the Thursday journal and online at djournal.com. But both teams going for their first state titles. So somebody's going to be extremely happy Thursday. That game is at 1 o'clock. Again, that's at the Grissom Center at Ole Miss. And then on Friday, we've got three games. I'll be there for all of those as well. We've got Pine Grove against Noxapater. A bit of a surprise, James, because, I mean, I was talking to someone. I covered the round before that. I guess that would be the quarterfinals. I covered the Hickory Flat TCPS game. And me and somebody were talking about how that was probably your de facto 1A championship game. Because Hickory Flat and TCPS had been really the two best in the North, at least. But Pine Grove, I won't say they snuck up on me, James. But I knew they were having a good season, and they got Adam Mooney there as the coach who won state with Hickory Flat 2 years ago. But they've won 17 of their last 19 matches, including the semifinal round in which they beat Hickory Flat 3-2. Dylan Barnes had the story on it. If you want to go check it out at djournal.com. But, yeah, I mean, you know, Adam Mooney, the first-year coach, like I said, he's won before and with Hickory Flat. And then, ironically, he beat Hickory Flat to get his new team to the state championship. So a young program getting to the championship very quickly, much like Ingemar did, you know, last year. And just that was its fourth year, I think. And speaking of Ingemar, they'll be taking on St. Andrews. Ingemar won the 1A title last year. They're in 2A, so they're going to play a St. Andrews team that won the 3A title 3 years ago, I think it was. So a couple of strong programs, and Ingemar has just looked so good every time I've seen them, James. And then you got Alcorn Central taking on Our Lady Academy. This is the third straight year they've met in the finals. Alcorn won it 2 years ago. Our Lady Academy won it last year, so kind of a rubber match. And I know OLA has they did lose one of their best players to graduation, but they've still got the Maya Farif girl and several others. And they got a lot of length. And this, you know, they've won 15 state titles. That's what they do there. But Alcorn Central, not a shabby team at all. I've seen them several times this year. Saw them sweep Belmont 3-0 in the semis. And I was surprised, even though Kirsten Moody's been out for Belmont, I was surprised to see that, James. But Coach Eric Lancaster said that was the best match he's ever seen Alcorn Central play, and he's been the only coach they've had. So that tells you something.
Definitely.
So I expect this match with OLL to be just a back-and-forth humdinger, five-setter. But Alcorn Central trying to win its second title in 3 years. Let's get into football. Looking back quickly at some games from last week, Tupelo taking down Germantown. I know Brendan was that game, but I don't know if you got to watch the stream, but I read a story and looked at the stats, and it looks like to me, James, that that's probably the best all-around game Tupelo's played this year.
It is, and it's a win that they really needed. They were coming off a three-week stretch where – the first two games they lost in games that Ty Harden felt like they lost more than they lost, and they just let things slip away. And the other one where I think maybe yeah, you wonder if they look back, I think they could wonder if they could have done a couple of things differently. So a very good win over a Germantown team that beat Starkville the week before, and
yeah,
it's going to be big to get them back on track this year.
Yeah, and 42-3 was the final, so yeah, Tupelo had no trouble with Germantown, which to me, I'm not sure if that clarifies the picture in 7A any or just further muddles it, because we still got to see what happens when Tupelo and Starkville play each other at the end of the season, and then possibly again in the playoffs.
Only 2 weeks from tomorrow.
I think that's right, yeah. That's right. Tupelo gets Clinton this week. They ought to win that one without much trouble. Ripley picking up a big win, and surprise, surprise, Ty Long returned to play quarterback. We thought he was done for the year. He had shoulder surgery in the off season, and the thought was, well, that's it, you know, because he hurt himself playing baseball over the summer, so they didn't think he had a shot at getting back to play football. But he ended up going out and playing last Friday, and playing well, threw a couple of touchdown passes as Ripley rolled past Itawamba AHS. Final score there was 38-6, and you know, not used to seeing Itawamba get beat like that by 4A teams, but it's been a tough year for them. But Ripley remains undefeated. That's a big region win. And just having Ty Long back in that offense, I mean, Jack Reed did a good job as the backup, but, you know, he's not Ty Long. Had a really strong season in 2022, and just gives them an added dimension. Even if he doesn't throw it, the fact that you know he can, that really will help an already dangerous running game with Jalen Brooks and Keegan Strong. And so and there's a big game coming up for Ripley this week we'll talk about in a moment. And then finally, Biggersville. I went up there to watch them play Tupelo Christian, was hoping that would be a close game. It was not. It didn't take long for it to not be close. 45-0, the final, a Region 1-1A victory for Biggersville. I mean, the first time Jathan Hatch touched the ball on a punt, takes it on one hop, goes, I think it was 62 yards to the house. Then they scored. Then the next time they got the first time the offense got the ball, drove down the field in 9 or 10 plays and ran it in with a Jace Taylor. And then he had a defensive touchdown, Trey Gunn with a pick six. And it's just, that was all in the first quarter. Biggersville to me, James, I just can't see anybody in the North really competing with them this year.
I mean, it's going to be hard to when they have one of the most athletic teams, I think, in the entire area, regardless of class. Mm-hmm. You talked about Hatch, but they've also got Trey Gunn, who's tremendous. Drew Rousey, also tremendous, just a great leader and really an extension of that program as the quarterback of its team.
Yeah.
It's going to be real. I believe they have a big one against Baldwin this week,
yep,
who has much improved since a loss to East Webster at this point a month ago. They're big, and that's going to be a pretty good challenge for them. I believe there's some playoff seeding at stake if I'm
yeah, correct. I mean, the winner of this game probably wins the division unless something weird happens. So, yeah, to me, this is pretty much for the division title. That's a big one coming up on Thursday. Speaking of games coming up, let's look at some of these Week 9 matchups. You got Lafayette at West Point. That's usually a really good game. Lafayette, you did see them last week, it was, against Pontotoc.
Yep.
And you know, West Point's been kind of a funny team. I mean, you know, they come and beat Tupelo, and then they go and lose to Clarksdale, although Clarksdale has a couple of impressive wins. So I don't know. You know, you know what you're getting with Cannon Daniels every week, but outside of that, you know, I think West Point does have some vulnerable spots, but Lafayette hasn't just been tearing things up, but tell me what you saw against Pontotoc, because that was a really nice win for them.
Well, going in, I did expect to see, on paper going in, they were a team that threw the ball around a lot. And when you have Mekhi Reed-Jones, it's kind of like, of course you're going to do that.
Yeah.
But they came into the game averaging, I would think, about 63 yards on the ground. On Friday, they had 150. And that is something that Coach Anthony Hart wanted to work on all year, and they were able to hammer the rock against a Pontotoc defense that isn't exactly the easiest nut to crack. And I think that that's going to be big in this matchup because, you know, going in, obviously, and we knew a long time going in, West Point's going to be a team that pounds the rock. Lafayette's going to be a team that airs it out when they can. And they did get two deep passes for touchdowns against Pontotoc. But now that Lafayette's able to get a run game going, like if they can spread West Point out a little bit, I think that'll be a really interesting game.
Yeah, I really think it could be another close game, as most of these are when they meet up with each other. They've over the, just the past 5 years, they've met up like seven or eight times because they end up meeting in the playoffs about every other year in addition to their region matchups. Then you got Nettleton at Choctaw County. Intriguing matchup here too. You know, Nettleton there, it's a 4-3A game, region 4-3A, and Nettleton off to a really good start this season. I mean, you got them at, let me see here, got a record of 6-1, 2-0 in division. You got Choctaw County at 6-2, 3-0 in division. Of course, they have Caleb Cunningham, the all-world wide receiver. Got a pretty good quarterback in KJ Cork, and got a good running game. They got a 1,000-yard rusher, Jeremiah Miller. So pretty balanced Choctaw offense. Nettleton also pretty balanced. And that balance comes in the form mainly of Braylon Williams, a quarterback who can run it and throw it equally effectively. But he's got some good help with guys like Interior Vincent and Davin Pargo. And you got Braden Hooks in the backfield with them. So pretty well-rounded Nettleton offense. And, you know, it could be kind of – I don't know if this could end up being kind of a shootout. I don't know. I know Nettleton does have some dudes on defense, but they've given up some points at time this year too. So that's a big game there in Region 4-3A. And then the game of the week, James Ripley and Amory at Tupelo, last quote-unquote home game for Amory of the year. These teams are both undefeated. Amory's ranked 4 in our small school rankings. Ripley is 5. That's a region 1-4A matchup. I don't know. You know, I write my column every week picking who's going to win. I still don't know who I'm going to pick to win this game because you got two teams that are very similar. Ripley and Amory both have excellent running games, and they both have pretty salty defenses. Kind of mirror images, you know, and I think we got Brendan doing the preview on it, and he's going to cover the game. But I like Ripley's chances a lot more now that Ty Long is back at quarterback, as I mentioned earlier. This is one of those games, James, even if you're not – and I wish I could come just to watch. I would if I wasn't covering volleyball all day Friday. But this is one of those games, like, you just need to come watch it. If you're around Tupelo, even if you're not a fan of either of these teams, come to this game.
100%. And I think it's almost fit. It's really fitting that a game of this magnitude is on a stage this big.
Yes.
Like, what better place to have a place with two undefeateds, two teams that I think you could argue have a very good chance of going deep in the North bracket to play on the campus of arguably the biggest school in the state.
Right.
I mean, in games like these where both teams are so similar and both teams mirror each other in a lot of ways, it just comes down to execution.
Yeah,
and that can honestly vary from night to night. Sometimes things just might sway one way to another, but it just comes down to execution and fundamentals, technique, everything you learn in practice. How do you do it for 48 minutes?
It's where those little things get really become bigger. Like little things you can get away with against somebody else. It could be the difference in the game.
100%. Yeah,
definitely. So that's just going to be a whale of a football game, going to be a very physical game, I imagine. Probably not a ton of scoring. I'd be surprised. But, you know, both teams have very good running backs that are capable of breaking big plays. Emmanuel Randall, he's more of that kind of elusive guy. And then you got the Ripley running backs who can just run through people. And don't forget, X factor for me is Michael Turner, the receiver and defensive back. Quarterbacks try to avoid him, and Amory would be wise to do so, but he can make big plays on offense as well. I think he could be a difference in this game for Ripley. So we'll have to see, and I'll have to pick somebody to win. I just haven't decided yet. I may have to flip a coin on it. Let's wrap it up with Athletes of the Week. This week's nominees, female athletes, Miley Davis. She plays volleyball for Alcorn Central. Allie Murphy, cross-country runner for Myrtle. And Miley Switcher, volleyball player for Pine Grove. Male athlete nominees, Dylan Johnson, the quarterback for Baldwin. Braden Shettles, the quarterback for New Albany. And another quarterback, Trey Spurgeon of Shannon. You can vote for Athletes of the Week on our Twitter page, at D Journal Sports. If it's not up, if the polls aren't up there soon yet, they will be soon. You'll have until like tomorrow at lunch to cast your vote for Athletes of the Week. So that's all the time we have. James, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Brad.
Pod Gator, thanks for working the board. And thank you all for listening. Catch us every Wednesday in iTunes, Spotify, or online at preprally.djournal.com. We're on Twitter at djournalsports. I'm on there at Brad Locke. James is on there at JS Murphy Media.
Correct.
Got it. Can't remember Brendan's, though. Check out our sponsor, Pizza Doctor, at Midtown Point in Tupelo. We'll see y'all next week.